I'm George Faust.
I'm Karaski Melvin. And this is Inside Cajun Nation.
KLFY and the University of Louisiana at Lafayette present Inside Cajun Nation.
Welcome to Inside Cajun Nation. Let's start in the circle. Cajun softball's been building off that big win over Oklahoma, going unbeaten last week in Conway, Arkansas. With the Sunday sweep last week, Louisiana extended its winning streak to 5 games and pushed its record back above the 500 mark. That big win versus OU creating a more confident team, which is what head coach Jerry Glasgow hoped and expected to see.
I thought we played with a lot more confidence all weekend. Thought Sam Landry was outstanding in the circle. I thought Chloe was very good, and I thought Denali was very good in the circle for us.
Cajun softball hosted McNeese at Lamson Park this week. Sam Landry, she strikes out Alexis Dibley at the top of the first inning, 1 of 5 Ks for her. Bottom third, bases loaded. Shaylin Sanders walks Sam Rowe to force in the first run of the game. Sophie Piscos is the next batter. She also draws a walk. Bottom seventh, Cowgirls now have the bases loaded. Down 2-1. Chloe Riaceto gets Kareen Poncho to ground out to third. Louisiana wins 2-1, their sixth straight win.
That's a really good win for us. It wasn't what I wanted. It wasn't how I drew up the seventh or how I imagined the seventh was going to go. But actually getting the bases loaded and getting in that kind of a tight game, it's kind of like playing Oklahoma and Texas. It gives you that really good experience.
I think we're coming off of a lot of confidence over the past 2 weekends, so it was really good to bring that back home and finally be home with our crowd.
Cajun softball's conference season opener with South Alabama was to take place Friday, Saturday, Sunday this weekend. Game one was halted on Friday and the threat of bad weather on Sunday. The entire series was completed on Saturday. We'll start with game one as it began on Friday. Scoreless in the top of the fourth inning with a runner on. Sam Rowe, it's out of there. Her third homer of the year. Cajuns up 2-0. Same inning with another runner on. Brooke Ellistad would drop one into center, making it 3-0 Louisiana. Weather in the top of the seventh would suspend play for the day. So we pick it up on Saturday. In the bottom of the seventh inning, the Jaguars would score twice on 2 sack flies, making it a 3-2 game. And with the tying run at third, Sydney Lee grounds to Sam Rowe. Cajuns secure the game 1 win 3-2. On to game two, top first, scoreless, 2-on. Alexa Langliers goes right through the middle. Maya Davis scores the game's first run. Same inning, 2-on, Brooke Ellistead at the dish. She goes through the middle. Maddie Hayden would end up coming around to score. In the top of the sixth inning, it would be 3-1 Louisiana. Bases loaded for Sam Rowe. She also finds a spot through the middle. That'll score 2. Cajuns win 6-2. We'll pick up the game 3 in the top of the seventh. Louisiana down 2 with 1 on down to the final out. Jordan Campbell at the plate. It is now a new ball game. Campbell's fourth home run of the season squares the score and will go to extra innings. 2 on, top of the eighth for Laney Crater. It goes through the middle. Saying that a lot. Cajuns take their first lead, but they're not done by a long shot. Bases loaded. Alexa Langliers finds some space in that middle. That scores 2. Then, same inning. Maya Davis, this is her second hit of the inning that nets another RBI. 13-2, the inning would continue. Victoria Valdez, who already has an RBI in the inning, gets 2 more. Louisiana went up to bat 16 times in that inning, had 11 hits and 13 runs. They win 15-3. College baseball. The Cajuns walked off 3-run homer from Kyle DeBarge to win that Tulane series last week. It really set the tone for the upcoming conference schedule for them. It's a series starting off at Arkansas State. It's a new season, according to head coach Matt Deggs. And to have that confidence the Cajuns have right now is everything.
You draw off of past success in this game. And, you know, the more opportunities you get to have days like yesterday and actually get it done, it's a huge shot in the arm, especially heading into what I call a new season. And if you watch us yesterday, that was why the meeting was so long. It wasn't about Tulane. It was about this upcoming week.
Now, before conference play, they played La Tech. The Cajuns did. Bulldogs up 3-0. Josh Alexander with the bases loaded scores 2 with a base knock. Top third, bases loaded tied at 3. Caleb Stelly sends one all the way to the wall in right. 2 more Cajuns score. 7-3 Louisiana. John Taylor blasts his second home run of the year. Cajuns win 9-5. Now the Arkansas State Series, game 1. Trey LaFleur doing a job getting the run across in that inning, having it come around. Then later on, Kyle DeBart, the guy is clutch. His base hit would score a run. However, ASU holds off the Cajuns in game 1, an 11-8 win for the Red Wolves. On to game 2. We'll pick it up at the top of the 8th. Cajuns down 6-3 with the bases loaded. Lee Amade unloads them. That goes all the way to the wall. We are now level at 6s. Top of the 9th, John Taylor with 2 on. He will fly out, which is okay because Brian Broussard Jr. would score the go-ahead run for Louisiana. Bottom 9, Austin Jaslove, one of the last hopes for the Red Wolves here. He would ground to third. He would get tagged out at first. Louisiana wins 7-6. Game 3 on Sunday. Top 2nd, 1-0 A-State. Connor Higgs, high, far history. His 2nd of the year. It ties the score at 1. Top 3rd, tied at 2. Duncan Pastore rolls 1 a while past 3rd. He doubles. Kyle DeBarge would come around to score from 2nd. Cajuns up 3-2, top of the 3rd. Tied at 3, rather, top of the 5th. DeBarge puts another run on the board. That's his 8th of the season. Cajuns win that one, 8-5. We hit the links next time, next on Inside Cajun Nation, where we talk about what went down during the Louisiana Classics.
This portion of Cajun Nation is brought to you by Lafayette Coca-Cola Bottling.
Welcome back to Inside Cajun Nation. Oakbourne Country Club hosted the 2024 Louisiana Classics. Final round action took place on Tuesday. After day 1, Texas A&M started the day in first. They finished the day in that same spot. Sam Houston jumped up to 2nd, LSU in 3rd. Wake Forest and SMU would round out the top 5. The Cajuns, their best competitor, Eli Ortego, he shot even par on the day. That's good for 23rd. Starting the final round, he finished the day at 1 over. Stick around when Inside Cajun Nation returns. Sports Director George Faust speaks with track and field coach Tommy Badnall.
Cajun Nation, thanks for staying up and enjoying a little Cajun sports news with us. And we have the new UL head track coach. It's Tommy Badnall with us inside Cajun Nation here. And coach, congratulations on the promotion, I guess, reduction of interim from your name. Tell me a little bit about the excitement level for you, because this is a job, as you were telling me, that you've always had kind of circled in the back of your mind here.
Yeah, it was way back there. You know? it was this exciting time. You know, I mean, I'm super excited about being able to take over this spot. You know, I've been a track coach for a long time, and I've been assistant here twice, and graduated from UL. You know, I have a degree here. I coached here in the 90s. I played football here, and so I've been a Cajun my whole life. And you know, obviously, I think there's a little bit in the back of a lot of coaches' minds that they'd always like to go back where they played, or maybe where they fit in as a member of the community, and got mom and dad looking at Adam and the family and friends, and you know, it's a pretty cool.
Yeah, and so since you kind of got back and kind of got into the realm of college coaching, I'm thinking back to last year. You guys had a pretty talented squad, did pretty well. Just kind of give me a rundown of how last year ended, and then what you guys have built on from that.
Well, the men got third indoors, so we're doing well. You know, The women, we're built a little bit more for outdoor track. People that don't know track that well, they indoor and outdoor track are a lot different. And so we're kind of built a little bit more for outdoor track on the women's side. But, you know, we have had a little run of success. The men were second indoor and third outdoor last year. We got, a better team for outdoors this year. We're kind of closing the gap a little bit on the conference, top teams. And very exciting, honestly, with the number of COVID seniors we have and some of the older athletes that took a chance on us back 5 years ago when we weren't so good. It's kind of cool to be able to see them reach the kind of level of success that we always kind of talk to them about. They didn't really have much to go on other than blind faith in what I was telling them. We have great facilities at UL. We've got a great city to recruit to, got a good administration, and we have a lot of things going for us, right? But when it's all said and done, they didn't have a lot of previous success, at least in my group, which was the sprints, hurdles, and relays, So I think that what we set out to do, the vision that we had 5 years ago, is starting to really reach the level where we kind of hope to be.
Yeah, and so you talk about the facilities, and it's very nice out there at the track and field complex. Is there something you would like to see maybe to upgrade it a little bit? There's always room for upgrades, right?
Yeah, well, at some point we'll need tracks don't last forever in Louisiana with the heat and the humidity the weather. So we'll need a new track at some point over the next four or 5 years. And very pleased with our, we have a great weight coach and training staff. It's awesome. So we've got some infrastructure in place, obviously, that a lot of schools aren't blessed to have.
And, right.
We have a 14,000 square foot weight room. We have an indoor football field that we can use on rainy days, on lightning days, and that we're not able to be outside. So there's a lot of things that if you look at some of the other programs around the state, and I have a lot of good friends coaching at those places, but they have limitations that we don't have, and even though we're not the school an hour away, and we're a mid-major school in the Sun Belt Conference that does have a lot of positive things to recruit to and a lot of really good things going on.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you next is are you able to kind of recruit the way you wanted to? You said 5 years ago you kind of got had the vision. These guys that are now 5 years older have that vision, kind of executing what you guys are hoping for. Have you guys been able to kind of grab what you want to keep it going past those 5 years?
Yeah, I'm literally the last couple of weeks have had two coaches within the state say that they don't really recruit the state because we've signed just about every athlete in the state that's Division I level that LSU's not recruiting. I mean, I don't mind saying it,
Yeah, sure.
So we need to be the next option, right? And we really feel good that we've done that. Our goal has always been recruit Louisiana, lock down Louisiana if we can, go over to Houston, lots of 6A, 5A schools there, lots of talent, go up into the junior college in Kansas, South Plains in Texas, New Mexico, junior college, kind of solidify some relationships there. And then, pick and choose a couple of international kids. And then we really haven't hit the portal except in the summer.
Yeah.
So if we lose a kid or something to grades or whatever, we go into the portal in the summer and we try to selectively replace, individual
need.
People, right?
Yeah.
And we picked up the school record holder in the 400 meters through the portal. I picked up a really good male sprinter this past summer, So yeah, the portal's been good to us, So we just don't have a whole bunch of people that we recruit off of the portal.
All right, Coach, don't go anywhere. We're gonna talk some more. We're gonna talk maybe a little bit about your schedule and how the the spring season you'll have to guide me through it.
Yes, sir.
The outdoor, I guess, is
you and
is,
the rest of them.
Is right. I understand, but guide me through it. Don't go away. We're coming back with Tommy Badon, the new UL head track coach. So don't go anywhere. We're back right after this on Inside Cajun Nation. Welcome back to Inside Cajun Nation. Thanks so much for sticking and staying. George Faust here, UL head track coach Tommy Badon there. That sound good to you?
It does, man. Can't lie.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I hear you. Congratulations. I'm happy for you. And you know, I met you a long time ago when you were at Westminster Christian Academy in Opelousas, and you were the football coach. That's how I was introduced to you. I didn't know you were a track superstar.
Wow.
You know? How many years ago was that?
I got there in 2003. So I don't remember exactly when you came aboard.
I got here in sports.
It was early on. It was early in 03. Early on around there.
Yeah. Yep, 02, I started here. And 03, I started in sports.
Yeah, you weren't covering much in 03. We were pretty bad. But 04, we got good.
Yeah, yeah. Y'all had some quality
we
teams.
We did. Man. We won 92 games while I was there.
Very impressive. Well, let's talk a little bit about your current team, the UL track and field team. What's the schedule look like? What happens now as the spring comes and you get ready for that?
So we're training right now for outdoor season. We start Saturday at McNeese, then we actually have our home meet, the Louisiana Classics. It really is the Louisiana Classics. We have almost all the state schools coming.
Cool.
So it'll be a really neat, I think a really neat little meet. Then we go to LSU for a big meet there. We always do really well there. Then we're gonna take a week off. Then we're gonna go to Alabama, to the Alabama Relays at the University of Alabama. Then we go to Northwestern for the Deion Johnson. And then the week after that, for the first time ever, we're gonna go to Auburn. Leroy Burrell, the former world record holder in the 100 meters, he's the head coach at Auburn, and we're friends. So we're gonna go to Auburn this year, and we're really excited about that. The following week, you know, ULM is hosting our conference meet May the 13th. So they're having a meet for teams to get an opportunity to go run on their track. Oh. So several of the conference teams will be going up there. That's the last week of April. 2 weeks later, we have the conference meet up there. And then 2 weeks after that, we have the regionals. The regionals are comprised of the top 48 people in each event in the eastern half of America.
Okay.
As you have to qualify for that. Yeah. That's in Lexington, Kentucky, at the University of Kentucky. And then out of that meet, the top 12 earn a trip to Eugene, Oregon, to Tracktown, USA, for the nationals.
Gotcha.
It's the absolute hardest sport to make it to the national competition of any sport. They do the percentage of athletes who play and who gets to go to the NCAA participation, and track and indoor track are the two hardest sports to make.
Huh. Very interesting how that all works. And and when you talk about getting a chance to play or compete at different venues, does that help a track athletes, I guess is what I'm saying.
Cool.
Like if you say, hey, we're going to Auburn this year, hey, okay, you know, hey, we're going to LSU, which is an easy trip, but LSU's one of the premier track programs.
It's like any other sport, the cream rises to the top.
Yeah.
And so you want to be able to put your athletes in the best possible position for them to do their best. And to do that, you want them to be able to compete at the highest level. It's one of the selling points of track. You know, it's not football. So we're able to, on a weekly basis, we can go head up against the very best. So our 4x1 relay last year, every week, was going up against some of the best schools in the country. And we ended up going to regionals, make it to nationals. But I really think it's because every week, we were going up against the teams that were winning nationals, right? So it wasn't no big deal, you know, for us. I mean, we're running against them cats every week. So I think that we've tried to do that. We've tried to expose our kids to the highest level of track, and that in turn has raised their level of competition. And so we have, for a mid-major program, a lot of my friends that coach at mid-majors, if they can get 4, 5, 6 kids to the regional meet, they've had a great season. I think Troy had 7 last year. Mm-hmm. We had 18. You know, we had 18 last year, we had 21 the year before. So we've had almost 40 kids in the last 2 years go to the regional meet. That's kind of like a standard, like, you know, how's your school, how's your program?
Gotcha.
You look at how many regional qualifiers you have, how many conference champions you have. That's kind of like, you know, so we had 12 indoor all-conference performers at the recently held all conference championship. But we feel like we can have over 20 again this year at regionals. You know, we can have three or four relays and a number of individual, you know, competitors, jumpers and throwers. I mean, you know, it should. We're very excited about our outdoor team.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, I came out last summer, I guess, or spring, and watched you guys. And my question is this: you guys, you know, all those guys are fast, right? I mean, they got to be, right? Can you improve somebody's speed? Is that so? Like, if I run a 5.040, there's a way for me to get to 4.8.
George, okay, so there's certain
not people, you, but yes,
there are people. Certain people that have certain limitations.
I understand. I was using me as an example.
This is how we look at it, right? This is how we look at track. So if you run the Kentucky Derby, and I'm not saying that I'm not equating my athletes to horses by any means.
Right. No, I understand what you mean. But you put it in similar.
It's an allegory. So if I want to run in the Kentucky Derby, I have to be a thoroughbred, and it's a higher quality of horse that gets to run in there. So I want to try to get my thoroughbred to be the best thoroughbred and to run as fast as that thoroughbred can run. Right. So if I'm coaching at the Division I level, it's the same thing. But if I'm coaching at a high school, I'm coaching at a junior high or whatever, my level of athlete might be lower, but I want to still get the most out of them. So absolutely, yes, if you know what you're doing, you can help anybody get faster because there's so many different things that go into it other than just, you know, hey, let's line up next to each other and see who wins. It's really way more than that.
Yeah,
if it wouldn't be, then you would take all of the 5-star recruits every year, in every event,
put them out there.
And they would always be they'd always win NCs, right? They're the best in high school, right? So if coaching and training and other things don't matter, then those would be always be the people in the Olympics.
Yeah.
That's just not the case, because track is a developmental sport. So a kid might have played mostly football in high school and just did track for fun, and then decides in college he's going to focus on track. A Trajan Jones, great example. Trajan was a great high school football player. For whatever reason, a little undersized or whatever, well, Trajan Jones ends up, he's number two all the time at UL in the 100.
Right.
Because he focused just on track. So he ran 10:48 in high school, but he ran 10:21 last year for us.
Sure enough.
Right? And he ran 21:43 in high school, but he ran 20:76 last year for us in the 200. You know, so it's kind of a good example, right? You know, track wasn't his total main focus in high school. He was good in track, but when you go to college, all of a sudden you get other people that are faster than you, that you're training with. You got a good coach, hopefully, that is helping you with the planning and the preparation and learning how to start, learning how to accelerate, you know. So there's a lot that goes into it.
Interesting.
And staying healthy.
So
a lot of people get hurt.
Absolutely. You gotta be available.
Right.
Availability.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Good.
That's why they pay us the big bucks.
That's right? I understand. I understand. Well, Coach, thanks so much for the time. And if we could cut about 0.4 of a second off of my 40 time, then maybe you never know, I could get under 5.
If I can get 0.4 off of you, man, I tell you what, they need to pay me way more. You know?
Hey, look, you never know. I was an athlete at one point in my life, just not now.
I was too.
Coach, thanks for the time, man. You guys, thanks so much for sticking around and watching Inside Cajun Nation. For Coach Tommy Badon, George Faust here. Have a great week, everybody. Mm-hmm.